Welcome back to the Solitude and Single Track podcast, where we talk about our lives as off-grid RV nomads, traveling with our dirt bikes, and other off-grid and motorcycle-related topics. I'm Zoe Anderson, your host on this podcast, and today we are going to be talking about what we do to prepare to be going off-grid once again in 2 weeks. I cannot be more excited. And also, we've been doing a lot of motorcycle stuff recently, so I wanted to kind of go over that and talk about some trial stuff. And also, we went out and rode a bunch of beta motorcycles, and I think it's really cool, and I'm going to tell you what I thought about them all. Let's dive in. So, a couple weeks ago, we went and did our first trial of the year. We compete with the COTA group, which is stands for Columbia Observed Trials Association. If you are in Northwest Oregon, Southwest Washington, and you are remotely interested in trials, I highly recommend looking them up and checking them out. It's a wonderful group of people who are all motorcycle enthusiasts, whether it's trials bikes, big bikes, adventure bikes, all kinds of bikes. They all love motorcycles, they're all super supportive, and they're all great people. So if you had any interest in starting trials, look into them, go to a trial, go watch. A majority of them are hosted in Oregon. There is one in Washougal coming up, and then I think there's some in Tillamook State Forest and Oregon City as well. We did our first one of the year. It was in Dallasport, Washington, and it was a lot of fun. It was so much fun. It was a completely different climate than I was used to. It was more like Texas when we lived in Texas, where there was a lot of rocks and high desert kind of climate. It was like perfect traction. It wasn't woodsy where you had like all these wet roots and soggy, muddy, nasty. No, it was really fun. And like I had talked about in other podcasts, I had this New Year's resolution of moving up from novice class, which I've only done 3 trials previously to this one, and bumping up into intermediate. And that's not because I'm like wiping the floor in the novice class. I'm actually coming like middle pack to last of pack and novice. And a lot of that's just because I'm learning how to properly ride a trials bike still. I do a lot of my practicing on my own, and so I don't get a lot of one-on-one with other people who ride trials other than watching videos. So doing these trials really helps me kind of figure out, you know, how I need to use my bike as an extension of my body and figure out how to do trials things without putting my foot down. That's the biggest thing. So I took the leap and I entered intermediate in this first trial, and it was so worth it. I was actually pretty terrified because I started thinking about it. It's like, well, what if I fail on every single one? I get all these 5s, or like I have to DNF, and it would be really embarrassing and I would feel really, really shitty about myself. But it was completely the opposite. Not that I like came in first or anything. I came in like 5th to last, but like honestly in trials, especially with this group that we compete in, it's all about self-improvement. It's not about who's the best rider, you know, who can put their foot down the least. It's more of how can you improve your riding. So you get 3 rounds, and each round you do the same sections, and you just get 3 tries at doing the same thing over and over again. And so each time, you know, you can go back and learn from your mistakes. So the first round is always a little bit rough. And I will admit, on the first round, I had some panic attacks when I came up to some of the obstacles. There's a really, really big gap between novice and intermediate. In novice, there's not really any obstacles. And if there are obstacles, they're typically optional. It's mostly focusing on turning and the very bare basics of trials. In intermediate, you have that turning and all of these other, you know, elements also combined with some bigger obstacles that you have to do. You no longer have the choice of avoiding this log. You have to go over this log, you have to go over this rock, whatever. So, took the leap, and like I said, there was definitely some obstacles that I came up to that I was like, I would not normally naturally hit something like this in the wild if I was out riding. Like, I would look at that and say, wow, yep, that looks scary, and I'm not going to do that. But no, I had to. I had to go do it, because otherwise I would take a 5 or I'd take a D, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to take the points that I didn't necessarily have to do. And I surprised myself every time that I went up to hit an obstacle, and I hit it, and I successfully got over it without killing myself and or my bike. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And even though, like I said, I didn't do great as far as points go, I still felt really comfortable with knowing that my ability was better than I think in my mind. Taylor was in the trial as well, and I was in charge of signing us up online the week before, and I didn't ask Taylor what class he wanted to be in. I was just like, well, if I'm going to do intermediate, you're going to go down with me. So I put him in intermediate as well, and he was a trooper. He was a little bit I don't want to say upset, but he was like, what class am I in? I'm like, oh, you're an intermediate. He's like, I'm what? Because he had only ever done one trial ever, and it was the last one of the year, and that was like when he first bought his trials bike, and he didn't really do much trials other than like we'd swap between the 200 every once in a while. So yeah, that was different, but I don't regret it. He doesn't regret it. We had so much fun. And also, like, a lot of our friends who were in novice with us in the last year, they also had moved up. So the intermediate class was huge, and it was a lot of us newbies who we had just come from the novice class. Everything is new, and we're all terrified together. We're all in the same boat. So it was super, we were, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie there where we're all like, okay, we're all in this together. We're all terrified. We're scared. We're going to rock it. Let's go. Like I said, this trials community is amazing. I have never competed in any other motorcycle sport, but from what I've seen spectating and also having friends who compete in like motocross and sprint enduros, the vibe of I'm better than you, it doesn't really exist in local trial events like this. Maybe it does in like national trials or international trials events, but this this ego thing, it doesn't really exist. All the better riders, I'm gonna say better figuratively, but you know, better riders are there, and they're usually really excellent tools, and they're there and they want to like give you advice on, you know, how to do things properly. This particular event was a group check event, so we all were in small groups and we checked each other. Normally it's observed, so we have observers, and the way that we work in COTA is the AM riders, which is typically novice, intermediate, and vintage, they go, and then the PM riders, which is the advanced and up riders, they observe each section. And a lot of the times those advanced riders, when they're watching the novice and the intermediate group, they will give you pointers after, you know, you're done with your section. Say, hey, when you come back around, the way that you made this turn, if you just do this one small thing, I think you're going to get it. I know you struggled with it, but here's how you can improve. And they're all so supportive, and it's a refreshing community to be around. So anyways, like I said, if you're interested in trials, check them out. They're awesome. What else did we do? Oh yes. We, took our big bikes out of retirement. We had winterized our enduros. I have a 2021 Beta Cross trainer, and Taylor has a 2022 Beta 300RR. And we had put them up for the entire winter and winterized them and have only focused on trials for the last 5 months. So we spent some time in the last couple weeks getting them fixed up and, you know, scrambling to make sure they run okay, checking the oil injection, doing all the repairs that we needed to. I actually took some time, and if you follow me on Instagram, I drew all over my bike because I was tired of plain white plastics, and I don't really want to spend $200 on graphics on old plastics, plus my plastics are broken. And so I took Sharpie and went and creatively sprinkled it with art. It looks interesting. It's not going to last long. I will post the pictures that I took of it on my Instagram, and also I will put the pictures in this video if you're watching on YouTube. So we got our bikes out and rode them for the first time, and so we went out to Eastern Oregon, which is, again, a completely different climate than what we're used to. We do a lot of woods riding here on the west side of Oregon, like in Tillamook State Forest and Santiam State Forest. And we went to a beta demo day where we could test out a bunch of different beta motorcycles. This was hosted by Dan's Motorsports in Salem, Oregon. So if you are interested in a beta, I definitely recommend going to Dan's because Dan's is awesome. He helped me with my beta cross trainer when I lost my main bearings, and I dropped my bike off to him and had it back in a week and a half, free of charge. He contacted Beta, went through all the warranty stuff. Great dealer, excellent customer support. Highly recommend. Anyways, he put on this beta demo day, and a lot of other dealers do that too. So if you're not in the Oregon area, check out your local beta dealers and ask them if they're going to have a demo day anywhere near you at any time in the future. So obviously we brought our bikes so we could test them against these other bikes. So let me just get into it. I will tell you which bikes I like the most. I actually went out mostly interested in two specific bikes. I was interested in the 390RS, which is the dual sport model. And the reason I'm interested in switching back into four strokes is because I really want a dual sport. I feel like I can do a lot of the hard enduro stuff on my trials bike. Like, I don't need to have this 300 two-stroke. when I have my trials bike, because I can do everything and more on the trials bike than I can on the 300. So it'd be nice to have a smaller dual sport that I can go and, like, you know, take to the store or take around on logging roads and also hit some trails with at the same time. Something that's light and nimble but has enough power for me to feel happy. So I was interested in the 390, and I was also interested in the 200 race edition they had, which is a two-stroke, because I am debating replacing my cross trainer. I rode all the four-strokes. The four-stroke lineup, he had a he had the 350 four-stroke, a 390 RS, the 430, and the 480. And my favorite one was the 350. which I'm surprised that I liked. I did not expect to like the 350. I actually didn't expect to like any of the four strokes at all, because I'm so used to riding two strokes. But the riding in Eastern Oregon is so vastly different than what I'm used to. Everything is like so much more fast paced. I felt like I had a lot more fun on the four stroke bikes than I did on any of the two strokes. But my favorite was the 350. It felt light, felt nimble. I could go through anything on it. Even though the suspension wasn't set up for my weight, I still felt like it handled some of the more technical stuff pretty well. And I made a point to like go over some bigger rocks and some, you know, harder things that I could find off the side of the trail or whatever. It was also fast enough that I could hit some of these whoops going like way faster than I normally would, and like jump whoops. And I really enjoyed the power of having a four stroke. My second favorite was the 480, because it was so much bike and it was a lot of fun to fly on. And I could clear like huge sections of whoops and like really get going on it. And would I buy the 480? Never in my life. I've had, we owned a couple of big bore four strokes. We've had a YZ 450 and we've had a Husky FE501. Both of them are great bikes. They're really fast. They're a lot of fun for what they are, but they're not for the type of riding that we do. We do a lot of technical. We do a lot of hard enduro. We do a lot of trials. Something like that tends to overheat and is heavy and is just too much bike. It's too twitchy. So kudos to the people who do take, you know, the bigger bikes on harder stuff. I'm a little guy and big bikes just don't mix well with me. I'd prefer to have something that has more bottom end that I can, you know, I don't have to have as much clutch control, I guess. Anyways, the 480 was so much fun, but I would never buy it for the type of riding we do. My least favorite was actually the 390. I didn't like the 390 as thought as I was going to like it. It felt really heavy. It felt like the gearing was kind of funny, and it felt like it was really twitchy, like right in the beginning of the throttle, and then there was like dead spots in it. So I don't know if it was something with the fact that it's a dual sport and it's just geared differently. I don't see me having that. I didn't like it, and it wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong. It was not bad, but if I could choose a different bike, it would be a different bike. It wouldn't be that. So the two strokes I also had a lot of fun on, but my favorite two stroke was the 200 race edition, which is one of the bikes we went out to ride. However, I did find that I don't think I would buy a 200, just because I actually do like the power of the 300s a lot more. The way that they're distributed and everything, you know, you have more bottom end than the 300s. They're super luggable. They're really easy. And they're still lightweight. The 200 was a lot of fun. It was really light. It screamed in the, you know, upper range. And I liked that it was a smaller frame. But again, it was just, it wouldn't be something that I would go out and buy over a 300 for sure. My least favorite two-stroke was the, I was going to say about the two-stroke, the 200. We used to have a KX125 with a 144 kit on it, and the 200 felt almost identical to the 125 that we had. And so it was pretty nostalgic to ride, I guess, and I mean, maybe that's why I liked it. My least favorite two-stroke was the 250 RR. It was not a race edition. It just didn't feel, it was different enough from the 300 in a way that I didn't like, but it was also like just similar to the 300 where it's like, well, I would just rather have the 300. I didn't like how the power delivery was. It didn't scream, I want this bike to me. It didn't scream fun to me. So all in all, I decided that I'm going to keep my cross trainer. And actually, my cross trainer is platable. I can make it street legal if I really want a dual sport that bad. I just, you know, longevity of a two-stroke versus a four-stroke kind of thing. So, I'm going to keep the cross trainer. And then when the cross trainer is ready to be retired, or if I find, you know, it's not worth replacing the suspension, the cross trainer versus buying a new bike, I'm just going to get a 300RR because I really, really like the 300RR over the other bikes that I've ridden. Now, however, I have not ridden any of the other Euro 300s, so I can't say that the Beta is the best one, but it's the best one that I have personally ridden. That being said, I also loan my cross trainer out, which is modified. It's older, you know, it's more broken. It's got a pipe on it. It's been jetted and it's been tuned. I loaned it out to a couple girls who had, you know, gone to the demo and they rode the cross trainer and the 200 and they didn't like either one of them. And then they rode my cross trainer and they really, really liked it. It also helped kind of set a standard to like some of these smaller girls are like, well, the cross trainer, even though it's small, it's still too tall for me. I'd have to get a lowering link. And I'm like, no, 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 don't do a lowering link yet. Sit on my bike, which has been, I've had my rider sag set to my weight and you look like you're, you know, a little under my weight, but somewhere around there. But see if you can touch the ground better on my bike. And they would sit on it and be like, yeah, I can touch the ground. Great. Avoid the lowering link. So it was really nice to, you know, see some girls get out there and then start getting excited about riding after they rode mine and seeing that, you know, it could be a bike that they would be able to handle. So on that trip, we took all our bikes. We did not bring our RV. We just took our brand new cargo trailer. I know I've been talking about it for a while that we've been looking for a cargo trailer and we finally bought one. We ended up buying a brand new one because here the used market seems to be kind of crappy. It's either you buy a really clapped out one for $3,000 or you buy a used one for $5,000 or you can buy a brand new one for $5,000. And so we ended up buying a brand new one, and the first thing we did is put flooring in it. We have to do some more work to it, set it up, get some shelving put in, do a little bit more modifications to it to make sure that we can store all of our items and our bikes in it. But we did the e-track and we, you know, have the bikes configured how we want them to be configured. So that's going to be a game changer when we are off grid. It's going to help us keep all of our bikes clean and out of the weather and also secure, because before we were storing them in a tent, which is not secure and it's not out of the weather really. I mean, sure, it's out of the weather, like the immediate like rainfall, but it's tents suck. Don't store a bike in a tent for 7 months. That's all I've got to say. The next thing we're doing is we are installing more solar. I talked a little bit about this in one of my previous podcasts about how we have bought 10 more solar panels. So we have 1,000 watts of solar that we're going to add to our current 800 watts of solar that we have. And we haven't done that yet because we've been so busy doing other things. And finally, we took the time this last weekend and we set them up and we kind of like made a game plan on how we want to put the solar panels on the roof of the trailer. So we're going to put 14 panels on the RV itself. And then we have 4 extra panels that we haven't decided are going to go on the cargo trailer or back on the C10. But we have them all laid out and we kind of have a rough idea of how we're going to build the roof rack for the Intech and mount it up there. And it has to be in a way that's removable because we have an AC unit up there and RV AC units go bad. And so we need access to that. So basically we're going to have three bars going long ways up the trailer that can all be removed. And then the trailer and the solar panels are going to be bolted. They're going to have studs on the middle rack that they slide into, and then they're bolted and snugged up in place from the 2 side racks, if that makes sense. It'll make more sense when we do it and I can show you what I'm talking about. Maybe I'll like draw a little illustration and put it right here if you're watching the YouTube video. So yeah, so that's a project in place that should potentially be done by the end of this week. We had planned to do a lot more yesterday, but it took a lot longer than we thought mounting all the brackets, and then we needed more parts. Plus, it's raining, and we have to unplug some holes in the roof, and I don't really want to unplug holes in a trailer when it's raining. So this weekend is supposed to be 70 degrees, which is really crazy. And so I think that's going to be the optimal time to get the solar panels up on the trailer. And which kind of sucks too, because there's actually a trial this weekend that we're going to miss and it's going to be prime weather and I'm a little sad about it, but you know, we have to get what we have to get done. Oh yeah. We bought a freezer for the trailer, which is one reason that we, you know, also, oops. One reason that we had to get more solar, not had to, but wanted to get more solar, is we needed better food storage. So we knew that we were going to need either a larger refrigerator, or a upright freezer or a chest freezer of some kind. So we bought a really small upright freezer that we built a shelf around in the trailer. So our shelf that we built out of pine crates, we removed, and we built a completely new shelf out of maple, and it looks really nice, and the freezer works really good so far. So that's going to really help us not have to make as many trips into town to get food, and also just being able to like forage stuff. I was really into getting berries and freezing some berries, but I only could do so much when my freezer's the size of a shoebox. So I'll be able to go pick huckleberries and blackberries and mushrooms and freeze them all, and that'll be fantastic. Yeah, so I mentioned that we are leaving in 2 weeks to go back off-grid, and that is highly dependent on what the weather does in the next week and a half. We have had a lot of winter weather pretty late in the season, and even though it's been really warm, it's been unseasonably warm like this whole winter, and then all of a sudden, like the last few weeks, we've been getting inundated with all the snow in the mountains. So right now where we're going is under several feet of snow and not really practical for us to go at the moment. So I'm hoping that with this next weekend being 70 degrees, it'll clear up the snow enough for us to get up there and be able to start camping. But yeah, that's all I've got for you today. Hopefully the next update I have is everything is installed in the trailer and we are ready to go. And if maybe it'll even be us packing up and getting our butts up there. If you didn't know, I make stickers that I sell on my web store. Some of them are wooden stickers, and I just came up with these really cool holographic stickers, these holographic helmet stickers with a little topography and a little dirt bike guy up there. Anyways, I'm selling these in my store, so feel free to go check that out. But Taylor has designed some beta parts. Like a taillight housing assembly for a 300RR made out of TPU, which is polyurethane, meaning it's not going to break when you drop your bike, because a lot of people have issues with the taillight housing falling apart on the 300RRs. So he makes those. Those are available on our web store. Go check those out. Check out my stickers if you like stickers. I think that's pretty much all I've got for you today. Until next time.